are up to Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and we're up to Toshma. And we started this yesterday on the top of the Amud. But with your permission, I'd just like to review the basics and read through the Gemara again on Pei Gimel Amud Beis as a Chazara. And it starts with Pshita, right there in the middle of the Amud. And what we have here is the following. Pshita, Lazeh bePesach, VeLazeh bePesach, if this third Rishus is equally comfortable for both of the Chatzeros, Hainu, Chalon Shebein Shtei Chatzeros. And what that means is that there's a choice in which they could each be separated, or they could be joined together in a common Eruv. Okay, so here we're going to say that the halacha will be that they could set up a common Erev if they like, or each chatzah could set up an Erev unto itself. Then we have Lazeh Bezrika, Lazeh Bezrika. For both of them it's difficult. They don't have access, easy access. And the Gemara says that that's equivalent to a kosel shebein shtei chatzeros. And that means it's what's called a chatzah mishutefes. It belongs to both of them, and each one generates an isur on the other one, and the only way they could get access to that kosel would be if they made an eruv. Then we have lazeh b'shilshul v'zalzeh b'shilshul. It's both of these chatzeros are high up, and they have to stretch their way down. Is hainu, that's like haritz shebein shtei chatzeros, and it's going to be again osrim zalzeh. Lazeh b'pesach v'lazeh b'zrika. One of them has comfortable access, the other does not. He would have to go from the bottom, throw it all the way up. Hainu deraba barav hunam rav Nachman. This again a kosel shebein shtei chatzeros. And we'll award it to the person who has a Pesach, meaning that it's on the same level as his chotzer. Lazeh b'pesach, lazeh b'shilshul, hainu d'rav shizbi yomer av Nachman. And once again, we'll award it to the person who has a Pesach, who has easy access. What's the machlokas now between Rav and Shmuel? Lazeh b'shilshul v'lazeh b'zrika mai. Omer Rav shneim asurin. We're going to generate an Iser on both of them if they both have difficult access. So again, if they both had easy access, then we gave them two options. If they both had access through Zrika, then we're going to say that they both need an Eruv, meaning Osrim Zalzeh. And the same is true, let's say, in the case where they're both Beshilshul, they have difficult access going down. What happens, here's where Shmuel comes to the fore with the Chiddush, if one of them has access through Shilshul and the other through Zrika. So one is going down and the other one has to go up. So Rav says, this is equivalent to all the case that we gave before, where they're both, let's say, Bezrika, or they're both Beshilshul, and in such a case, if they're both Bezrikas and both Beshilshul, we need a common Erev, and Rav is going to say, the same thing happens in the case of Lazeh b'shilshul v'lazeh b'zrika. Okay, just give me 1 minute because I may be missing one piece of the puzzle. Shini liel imyesh kosel kavoa sotvok b'chtei chatzesus lafrid peros achas mechatzeros v'tam chritz pein shimyesh chritz amok asor tvoch b'chtei chatzeros is therefore surimbo. Shem shlishteach hatziros tashvishem b'nachas. Oh, lishteen tashvishem b'koshe. Yishteen asuros bo. But that's only in a case where shteen tashvishem b'koshe, in the same identical way, both have shilshul and both have Zrika. But now one has Shilshul, one has Zrika, and Rav says that's equal to two people who have Tashmish and Kosher, the Osro Zelze. Shmuel has a Chiddush here that Lazesha B'Shilshul, Nosim Osro Lazesha B'Shilshul. And why is that? Because Shilshul is more benachas, shalazet tashmish benachas, relative to lazet shetashmish o kosher, relative to zrika. And kol dovah shetashmish lazet benachas, lazet bekosher, nosin oso lazet shetashmish o benachas. That's the shita of Shmuel. Now Rav, he says in the footnote, is mode l'shmuel shetashmish o zrika, Kosha Yoser Mik Shilshul, El Shadaito, Klal Zesha, Kosha Tashmisha Lezev, Benachas, Lezev, Bekosha, Nosso Lezev, Tashmisha Benachas, Lonemer El Beofen, She Tashmisha Shal Achem, Echad Mehem, Hu Benachas Mamish, or as we call it a Pesach. But not if both of them are Shimusho Kosha, then we don't apply the principle of Kol, Shal Lezev Benachas, Lezev Bekosha, because they're both Bekosha. Okay. I just wanted to review that before we start our sugya here on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis for today. Toshma. Okay, now this brisa is being quoted as a kasha on Shmuel, because it's going to be a case of lazeh b'shilshul v'lazeh b'zrika. And Shmuel holds that we give it to the one who's b'shilshul, and the Bryce is going to maintain shtein asuros. Now, where's shilshul and zrika in the case of shtei gusaros? So that we said was that there's a gustra lemala and a gustra, well, let's call it a gustra elyona, and there's a gusra tachtona, and it says shtein asuros. Now, why should it be shtein asuros? Obviously, from the perspective of the elyona, we have a situation of shilshul. From the perspective of the tachtona, we have a zrika situation. So then, according to the logic of Shmuel, we should grant a heter to the Elyona. And yet it says, Shtei Gusaros, Zulam Alamizu, Ishtein Asuros. So Rav Adavar Ava gives the answer of Bibon Bnei Atachtona Derech HaElyona. It means that those who are on the bottom will climb up to the Elyona. Right? There are ladders or a ladder that will take them up to the Elyona. And therefore, both Gusteros are on the same exact level. They both have a shulshul situation. And as we said before, if they both have a difficulty, then Osros zu al zu. Now, what was the case if they both have a Pesach? Let me just review that one more time, so make sure we have that. We said that Lazeb Pesach, Lazeb Pesach, is Hainu Chalon Shebeishtei Chatzeres. Oh, in such a case, we gave them two options. Okay, fine. Now, if they both have difficulties, and they're both equal difficulties, then it becomes a chotza mishutefes, and it's asura. Whether they're both difficulties on zrika, or both difficulties on shilshul, that's the deal. If one had the difficulty of shilshul and the other of zrika, then, according to Shmuel, we would grant it a heter tiltil for the person who has the shilshul, because relatively his tashmish is noach yoser. Okay, fine. Now, in the case of shtei gusteros, Rav Adavar Av is interpreting it as a case where the tachtona has access through a sulam to the elyona, and therefore they both have the same difficulty. And in the case where they both have the same difficulty, we said it's a chotzer shel shutvim and osros zel zeh. So this is not a kasha on Shmuel. Okay. That's Rav Ado Bar Av. And now we're up to Abaye. Abaye is going to offer a pshat, an alternative interpretation of the Mishnah of Shtei Gusteros, which is, by the way, on Pei Zayin Amid Beis, in such a way that according to this new interpretation, there's no kasha, there's no objection to Shmuel. Kigon dekaima besoch asor da'adodi. That these gusteros are separated by what we'll call, for our purposes, 9.9 tfachim, less than 10 tfachim. And here's where Abaye comes up with the Chiddush, that since there's no distance between the two gusteros of 10 tfachim, it's only 9.9, then there's no chiluk reshuyos. Which means that even if the Elyona would be benachas through shilshul, and the Tachtona is kasha because he needs zrika, which according to Shmuel, in such a case, the winner of this bout is the Elyona because of Shilshul. Here we're going to say that even Shmuel would agree that we have one Rishus. It's a chotza mishutefes. We cannot separate into two reshuyos. So when does Shmuel say that if the use of the Elyona is benachas through shilshul, and the tachton is kasha because that's called zrika, and we're going to give it to the Elyona, is that's a case where the Elyona and the Tachtona are separated by 10 tfachim or more. But our case here, says Abaye, is it's less than 10 tfachim. The separate distance, the height between the bottom and the top gusteros is less than 10 tfachim. And therefore, this is not a kashan Shmuel. Shmuel holds that whenever one tashmish is more noach than the other tashmish, then we grant the shimush to that which is tashmisha nocha yoser. But here, we're not going to say such a thing because of the less than 10 tfachim distance between the two. In other words, what Shmuel is, in a sense, the goal line of Shmuel, in a case of Osrim, Asurim, is because we're going to set up two Rishuyos. Just one second. Did I get the math right here? Let me read it inside. He says, "Mikevan she'ein chiluk rishuyos bein nehem, lo yitachen she'yeh makom nosaf asamach l'shneim, she'yeh mutal l'tashmish l'zeh v'yosel l'zeh." Right. When does Shmuel apply his principle of? Let's read it again. Of kol davar shetashmisha lezeh benachas ulezeh bekasha nosin oso lezeh shetashmisha benachas. That's only in a case where you have two different rishuyos. So you have what's called chilik rishuyos beineim, which is 10 tefachim. So then, Shmuel is going to say it's more noach to the Baal HaShilshel than it is to the Baal HaZrika. That's because they're two Rishuyos Chalukos. But here, Ein Mikan Kushal Shmuel. Shmuel holds that we can apply the principle of kol davar shetashmisho lezeh benachas lezeh bekoshe nosin osol lezeh shetashmisho bekoshe. That's only in a case of two Rishuyos, meaning more than 10 tfach between them. Hatam shem osrim zel zeh, eino mipnei shenechshav ha-shimush bechar, noach l'shneim b'shoveh. In other words, Rav would have said that if they both have difficult shimush, one because of shilshul and the other because of zrika, the one on top because of Shilshul, the one in the bottom because of Zrika, then we consider them Shneim Shav. We consider them as if they were both equal. And that's called Osrim Zalzeh. But Shmuel never accepted that. And Shmuel is of the opinion that we can still set up a relativity theory, and Shilshul relative to Zrika is considered Lazeh Benachas and Lazeh Bekasha. He says, but in the case where there's no 10 tefachim distance between the two, is ein chiluk rishuyos beineim. Is therefore, if there's no chiluk rishuyos beineim, lo yitochin, it's not possible, she'e mokom nosav esomach l'shneim, she'e muto b'shimush l'zeh l'zeh, v'yosu l'zeh. You can never say in one rishus that it's muto to one and osu to the other. Because what are you saying? You're saying that since Shilshul is Tashmisho Noach relative to Zrika, therefore, in the case of Shilshul versus Zrika, the Shilshul is defined as a Pesach. But that makes sense if you have Shtei Rishuyos. So then you can grant that Rishus exclusively to the individual that has the Pesach. Again, here it's a relative Pesach, but it's a Pesach. V'mashen is Bayer, Sherishus Shlishis, Hasmuchel Shtei Rishuyos, Sheshimusha Kol Echemem Benachas. If one is benachas, v'yechad b'kosha, nosin osol is a benachas, hu dafka kisheshtei reshuyos chaluko zumizu, al yidei gova shel asor tfachim, like a chutz and aliyah. That if you have shtei reshuyos chalukos, and there's a tug of war on the Makom Shlishi, so you could say it belongs to one of the two Rishuyos. He's considered Pesach, and the other guy's considered Kosher. So we can tip the scale and prefer one over the other, because we're going to allow him, because he's holding on to a Rishus, and now he's sort of with a magnet, he's drawing that third place to his Rishus. And that makes sense if we have two Rishuyos, because they're separated by 10 Tfachim. Like again, the case of a Chatz Aliyah, or Shtei Chatzeros Amuvdolos, Zu Mizu, Asar Tfachim Begova Karkuson. Or if there's Machitza of Asar Tfachim between them, or Chritz Amok Asar Tfachim, Avok She'en Beneim Chiluk Rishus, and they're fighting over this third Makom. Is then Osrim Heim Zel Zebechol Inyu. That's where we require an Erev to be Matir. I don't understand, this is what's bothering me in the back of my mind, the case of Pesach with Pesach. And there we gave them two options. So let's say, now Pesach and Pesach could be, because are they all considered one Rishus? Oh, that's maybe what I'm missing. That if we go back to the case of Elizabeth Pesach, Elizabeth Pesach, is then, we're going to consider as one Rishus. Wait a minute, that's not exactly accurate, because we're going to give them the option of being ma'ariv kol chotze li'atzma. So it's not exactly one rishus. Or maybe we should say that they'll determine whether it's one rishus. That's the part of this equation that I don't understand.
Situation where they're both with the Pesach, that they're separate, so they are individual, but they could join together as one.
Yeah.
And here it's, they are one.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, that they'll, in essence, if you're asking whether that these are two Rishuyos or not. Like, for example, you have two Chatzers with a window in between. So are those two Rishuyos or one Rishus? The answer lies in the hands of the Bnei HaChatzer. In other words, the Bnei HaChatzer, I guess, have the right to be Kovea and determine one way or the other. They can see each other as two separate Chatzeros. Or through this Chalon, they can decide to join in one Erev and decide that they are one Rishus. Here, what Abai is saying is that if you have a case where objectively they are one reshus, then we cannot apply the principles that would apply to two different reshus. In two different reshus, we could grant the reshus to one of the two if he has a tashmish kal, or noach, right? Relative to the tashmish kosher of the other one. That we can do if there are two reshuyos. And I tried to suggest in the visual picture of it is that each chotzer is trying to pull this, you know, reshus shlishis towards itself. And there are two reshuyos that are fighting over this third reshus. And the one who has tashmisho nocha, even if it's only relative, he can grab and gravitationally pull that reshus shlishis to his reshus. But if they're all in one reshus, then you can't take one reshus and say, well, one chatzah is mutter and the other chatzah is us. It's all one reshus. Even though in the case of Shneim bePesach, we did say that we can define it as one reshus, but that's because they decided to join hands. Here, we have to objectively decide who gets the third reshus. And if they belong to one reshus, because the distance between the two chatzeros is less than 10 tefachim, then there's no way we can say that this reshus belongs to one of the two. I mean, they both have access to this chatzer. I mean, if it's one reshus. I mean, actually, like, for example, in the case of Gusteros, right? So we have the tachtona who will require Zrika to have access to the Gusra Elyona with the Chor in the middle there. And the Elyona only needs Shilshil to get down, you know, the pail into the water, to draw the water. So Shmuel would say that we can grant it to the person who's in the Elyona. But that's only because, says Abaye, they are in two different reshuyos. So the Elyona, for example, could grab the the pail of water and draw the water from through his char. But if Luyetsuyer, the two Gusteros, are separated, says Abai, by less than 10 tefachim, that makes them into one reshus. They're objectively one reshus. We can't grant that reshus to one of the two, even though his tashmish is nocha. And even Shmuel would agree that despite the fact that the Elyona has the advantage of Shilshul, nevertheless he cannot maintain his exclusive rights to, you know, lowering and raising the pail of water through the Gusra Elyona, based on the fact that he's bullying around the other one, because the Elyona has the advantage of Shilshul as opposed to the Tachton who needs Rika. And we're not talking like Arvada, you know, where there's a ladder to. So this kind of bullying around, in which the Elyona wants to claim that, you know, he gets this Rishush Shlishis of the Char in the Gustara because his Tashmish is Nocha, relative, it's only Shilshul. That is impossible, says Abaye, because the two Gustaros, insofar as they are 9.9 Tfachim distance one from the other, they form one Rishus. And within one Rishus, we're not going to be able to apply the mechanics of nocha and, you know, tashmisha lo nocha. Because there are two people and two gusros that belong together in one rishus. Now, let's focus our attention on another dimension of this brisa that we're studying. It says, Asu le'elyona v'lo asu le'tachtona. So where did they, you know, drill this square hole that's 4x4 in which gustra? Now, logically, you could have two options. You could have had a situation where it was the tachtona that set up this, you know, this chor, and not the elyona. Instead, the Brisa presents us a scenario in which it was the elyona that carved out this square in order to allow drawing the water. Why is it that the Brisa chose that case of the elyona? Now, if we would have operated without Abaye in an assumption that the two gustros are separated one from the other by 10 tefachim and more, then I can appreciate why the Brisa formulated its case where asu elyona v'lo asu tachtona. Because now we're coming lafuke Shmuel, and the Brisa wants to teach us that even though the elyona has shulshul, the tachtona is rika, nevertheless, shtein asuros. Again, Shmuel. If, on the other hand, the tachtona would have vachmakol, would have the char, would have made the char, then both the elyona and the tachtona are in a shulshul situation. And that wouldn't have conveyed the chiddush of this brisa against Shmuel that shtein asuros, despite the fact that the elyona is only hurting for shulshul, whereas the tachtona is hurting for zrika. But now if we take Abaye, and this brisa is not a kasha on Shmuel at all, because even Shmuel would agree to what it says in the Brisa Shtein Asuros, because the distance between one gustra and the next is less than 10 tefachim. Why did the Brisa choose to formulate the scenario where the Elyona makes the Char and the Tachnona does not? Could have been just the opposite. Let it be that the tachtona made the chor. So the Gemara says, "Lo mi boy ka'amar." In other words, it's absolutely necessary for the Brisa to speak about a case where the chor was in the elyona. If the char was in the tachtona, the brisa would be short of actual clarity, and it would allow room for a mistake. If the char is in the tachtona, then the brisa would not be able to convey its chiddush. V'lo mi boy ka'amar. Which means that we always start with the lesser chiddush. No, I'm sorry. Lo mi boy is just the opposite, is what's called lo zu afsu. In other words, we start with the bigger chiddush, and then the lesser chiddush goes without saying. Lo mi boy asu litachtona, vilo asu lel yona. The Asiri, the cave under the Goa Sora, the Hadre, the Adodi Kaiman. In other words, the Brisa is implying the following, that I don't even have to bother telling you. Okay, I made the same mistake I made yesterday. It's not a Brisa, it's a Mishnah. I don't even have to, it goes without saying that if the Tachtona was the one who created the Chor and not the Elyona. For sure that would be Asiri. And that has nothing to do with the fact that there's less than 10 Tfachim between the Tachtona and Elyona, and there's no Chilik Rishuyos. But rather, Kevan de Bego Asora da Dodi Kaimin. One second. Again, I'm missing one point here. Just give me a second. Again. If we would have said that it's a case where the Chor is betachtona, we would not get the Chiddush. Now, let me suggest the following, that the Chiddush is that even though one might have a nocha versus kasha superiority, but nevertheless, they're shtein asuros because they're within 10 tfachim one to the other, and that makes them into one rishus. If that's the main thesis which this braisa is trying to convey, then I understand why the Braisa couldn't have taken a case, a scenario, where the Tachtona was the one who made the Chor. And I think what it means is, I'm going to have to make sure that this mathematics works out, because if the Tachtona made the Chor, then what? Then the Elyona has Shilshul and Tachtona Shilshul. Again, I'm going to say something, but I'm not sure what I'm saying is correct. That, just trying to figure out what. If it was, I'm trying to get this one variable. Once I get this variable, everything will fit into place in Ritz Hashem. What mistake or what ignorance would have been a result of the fact that the Braisa would formulate it in the case of Osu Tachtona Velo Osu Elyon? That's exactly what I have to figure out. Okay. So again, I'm going to read through the Gemara. I might have to pedal back via backpedal. Lomi boy ka Omar, Lomi boy Asu Litachton Velo Asu Litov Dasiri. And that would have nothing to do with this new Chiddush that we want to be Mechadesh, that if they're within 10 Tvachim of each other, there's no Chiluk Rishios, and therefore Osrim Zelzeh. Then we would have said the Kevan de Bego Asura Da Dodi Kaimon. If these two Guzros were close to each other, and they're within Asar Tfachim Zumi Zu, is then even within, just one second, even if there are four Tfachim Izu Zu, okay, then I'm not sure why he adds that element into the equation. Just one second. Is Shimusha Bechor Shavim. Okay, this we have to emphasize. Shimusha Bechor Shavim, Sheshne Mishtam Sheval Yidei Shilshul. Okay, then. So I'm not 100% sure why that's so. I mean, obviously, we're trying to draw water from the bottom. I mean, from the top of the ocean, but I mean to say from all the way down on the bottom. So I guess in, you know, vis-a-vis both Gusteros and, you know, each one has the Chor, we're talking about a Shulshul of more than 10 Tfachim. So basically they're both shilshol categories, and therefore osrim zelze, as we said. But the Mishnah wants to be mechadish al afilu osu lel yonav lo osu le tachtona salke dait chamina kevin shel azze benachas, right? For the El Yonah, we're talking about Shilshul. Ulazeh Bekasha, for the Tachtona, we're talking about Zrika. Again, we're not assuming that there's a ladder. Okay, fine. Is Leisve, let's award what we call the merits or the rights of Shimush in the Char, Lazeh Shetashmisha Benachas, for the El Yonah. And since relative to the Tachtona, it's a situation of, for the Elyona, he gets an extra couple of points. It's Tashmisho Benachas. And therefore, I would have a strong Havamina to assume, like Shmuel, that we granted to the Elyona, who's only Shilshul, is Kamash Malon. This is what the Tana wants to teach us, that since Bego Asara Kaimen is Asri Adodi. So if I understand correctly, what Abai is trying to accomplish is to interpret the Braisa in a way that will protect Shmuel, meaning the Braisa in Ochinami accepts the sheet of Shmuel, and Shnei Asuros is because of the fact that it's Toch Asara. So that the Braisa, if its agenda is to show that even Shmuel would agree that despite the extra points of Shilshul over Zrika, we still have a Halach of Shtein Asuros, and Shmuel would concede in the case where the two gustros are within 10 tfachim, they're less than 10 tfachim apart, one from the other, that it's one reshus, and we don't apply the mechanics of lezeh nochav and lezeh kasha, then the Braisa had no choice, the Mishnah had no choice, but to formulate it in a case where it's the tachtona that dug this char. That it was the Elyona that dug the char, right? Because if the Tachtona had dug the char, then both gustros would be on the same level. The Elyona and the Tachtona are both operating with Shilshul, and therefore Shtein Asuros. That doesn't teach me anything new that I didn't know. But if, on the other hand, it was the Elyona that made the Char, then I have a gewaldig, an amazing chiddush over here, from Shmuel's perspective. And that is, don't apply the rule of lezeh tashmisho nocha v'lezeh tashmisho kasha, that the Elyona has one up it on the Tachtona, because the Elyona is pure shilshul, whereas the Tachtona requires zrika, and then a shilshul. And now, I have a gewaldige chiddush for you. Something that you never knew about. That since the distance between the Elyona and Tachtona is 9.9 tfachim, therefore, shtein asuros. And why is that? Because now it's one reshus. And we cannot say about one reshus that it belongs to this guy and not to the other guy, because he has Tashmisho Nocha and he has Tashmisho Kasha. That doesn't apply in one Rishus. That allows a Reuven, we'll call him, who has exclusive rights to his chatzer, to take over this Rishus Shlishis and magnetize it towards his Rishus, take it into his Rishus, because he has the advantage of Tashmisho Nocha. And if we would apply that logic to Shtei Gusaros, then we would have certainly awarded the Elyona rights and a head to tiltle as far as drawing water from the Charsh of Elyona. So why don't we do so? And the answer is because that only applies in Shtei Rishus and not in one Rishus. In Shtei Rishus, the Elyona would certainly have exclusive rights to the drawing of the water. It would be mut of him to do so, because he would be pulling over this whole contraption over to his Rishus, because he has the advantage of Nocha. But that's only because they're on each Gustra belongs to a different Rishus. And that means that there's more than 10 Tfachim between the Elyon and the Tachtona. But when there's no 10 Tfachim, there's only 9.9 Tfachim between the Elyon and the Tachtona, it all merges into one Rishus, then we don't give any advantage to the one who has Tashmisha Nocha. He cannot claim that he has rights to this Mokom Shlishi. We're going to require joint Eruv. And that's the Chiddush of the Braisa, which can only be formulated in a case where it's the Elyona who dug the Char. Because if it was the Tachtona who dug of the Char, that has nothing to do with Shmuel. That's just a simple halach that if they both have the same disadvantage, then, so to speak, they're all in the same boat, if you pardon the pun. And it's a Chatzah Meshutefes, and it's also Zu'al-Zu. But the Braisa, now pedagogically, is much clearer by telling you that it was the Elyona that created this Char. And he has an immediate access, because for him, all he needs is Shilshul. And now, the Braisa is being mechadesh that even though Shmuel normally would award the Elyona rights to, you know, to draw the water, etc., because he has the advantage of Tashmisha Nocha, him is pure Shilshul. But nevertheless, in this case, Shtei Asuros. We're not going to attribute or grant the rights to one of two of the Bali HaChotzer, of the respective Chatzeros. And the reason for that is because we're going to merge the two Chatzeros into one if the Gusteros are only 9.9 Tfachim, one from the other. I want you to know, Rabbi, so you probably assume that I didn't even see this Gemara before I came in. I spent a lot of time in this Gemara. But sometimes you can have a one-line sugya that's more complicated than a whole daf. And I had to work it all out. So I needed your help. So I give you all a groisi yashikoyach. And I express my gratitude for your persevering with me. Now, Abai is going to try to prove... Oh, that's a question? Steve, what I always get mixed up in the...
No, that's applause.
Oh, that's applause. Oh, okay. Well, what sign is for a question? Or a comment?
It should look like a hand raised, I think.
Oh, in other words, like. If it goes up and down as opposed to tilted to the side.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now Abai wants to bring a proof for this distinction between two chatzeros that are within 10 tefachim one of the other and two that are more than 10 tefachim apart, or 10 tefachim apart. Ki ha di omar of Nachman, omar Shmuel. So Abai is going to postulate an analogy between a scenario of Rav Nachman or Shmuel, which is totally different than our Shtegus Tros and our Shtegus. Gag has Samuch Lushus Rabim. Shalo Haya Mukaf Chatze Mikol Sidov. So on the, you know, surrounding areas of this Gag, all we have is a Rishus HaRabim. And the distance between the Gag and the Rishus HaRabim is 10 Tfachim plus, right? 10 Tfachim or more. And now, the building itself has a Mirpeses. Sheyotzeis Min Ha'aliyah. So in other words, the building has two floors. There's a Mirpeset that, you know, comes, I don't know what word is, yotzeis, it extends out of the top floor, the higher floor. And if you're standing on this Mirpeses, then you could climb up to the roof. Now the distance between the Mirpeses and the roof is 9.9 Tfachim. And we said that the distance between the Rishus HaRabim and the Gag is 10 Tfachim. So again, let's re-emphasize. It's very important for us, because when I learned this first time, I didn't catch this, that from the Mirpeses to the Gag is less than 10 Tfachim. Now, from the Mirpeses down to the Rishus HaRabim is also less than 10 Tfachim. From the Rishus HaRabim to the Gag is 10 Tfachim. So Shmuel says the following, Gag HaSomach L'Rishus HaRabim, and the Gag is 10 Tfachim above Rishus HaRabim, is in that case Tzorech Sulam Kavua Lahatiro. What he needs to do is, he has to set, if he wants to carry up to the Gag, he has to set aside, or set in place, a ladder, and it's got to be kavua, it's got to be there on a permanent basis, such that he can climb from the aliyah to the Gag. So he can get that 9.9 tfachim up higher to the Gag, and then he's allowed to carry from the Gag to the Mirpeses, or from the Mirpeses to the Gag. What does he gain, what does he accomplish by setting up the Sulam Kavua? He is revealing, or, you know, like a foghorn, he's conveying the message, declaring, not in so many words, that the people who live on the second floor, the Bnei Aliyah, they are cutting off, so to speak, the Bnei Rishus HaRabim from the Gag. Because again, there's no chotzer, no side of the chotzer that separates the Rishus HaRabim from the Gag. So in theory, the Rabim have access to the Gag as well. Come the Bnei Aliyah, and by setting up a ladder between their Mirpeses and the Gag, they're making the declaration that this Gag belongs to us exclusively. And in the words here of the Mesifta, he says, Misalkim b'nei ha'aliyah megalim daitam shemisalkim es ha'gag mishimushim shel b'nei Rishus HaRabim. I would have said it the exact opposite way. I would have said, Gilui daitam shemisalkim es b'nei Rishus HaRabim mishimushim b'gag. V'noch lehem lishtamish b'gag levadon. They want exclusive use, comfortable use of the Gag. So the Gemara says that Shmuel seems to imply Sulam Kavua in Sulam Aroi Lo. If it's a Sulam that you move from place to place, that's not going to accomplish your goal. My timer, why is that so? What's this distinction between Aroi and Kavua? So Ma Tam Shabalo Sulam Kavua Ain Bnei Aliyah Rashoyim Lishtamish Begag. If it was only a Sulam Aroi, then the Bnei Aliyah would have no rights to use the Gag. After all, if they have a Sulam, even if it's not Kavua, it's Noach Tashmishon, they have a better access to the Gag than the Bnei Rishus Arabim do, because the Mirpeses is within 10 Tfachim of the Gag. So the answer has to be Lav Mishum de Kaiman de Besocha Sora da Dodi Kaimi Osran Adodi. Here Abai wants to activate his principle that since this Mirpeses is within 10 Tfachim of the Rishus Rabim, therefore it becomes one Rishus and Osran B'nei Rishus Rabim Es Hashimush Bagat. In other words, if there's no chiluk rishus between the rishus harabim and the bnei aliyah, then neither of the two of them have rights to claim the area, even though they're noach tashmisha. So certainly, if you were to compare the access to the roof of the bnei aliyah and the bnei rishus harabim, it's the bnei aliyah have access to the roof. Because, as we said before, from the Mirpeses up to the Gag is less than 10 Tfachim. But nevertheless, we're not going to give, if it's a Sulam Aroi, we're not going to give rights and a Heter to the Bnei Aliyah to the Gag. And the reason for it is because the Bnei Rishus Arabim and the Bnei Aliyah are part of one Rishus. And the reason for that is because the height or the distance between the Rishus HaRabim and the Aliyah is less than 10 Tfachim. I'll read it one more time. Me'achar Shem Ripesasi B'toch HaSor Tfachim Rishus HaRabim Osrim B'nei Rishus HaRabim Oleha on the Ripesas Es Shimush HaBagag Mishum She'en B'neihem Chiluk Rishuyos. Now we merge, so to speak, the Rishus of the B'nei HaAliyah together with the B'nei Rishus HaRabim. And once we merge them together, neither one of them has rights to the Gag and their Osrim Zelzeh. This despite the fact that one has a better access and it's more Noach. Therefore, says Abai, in our Sug of Shtei Gustros, Kevon Shagustra Tachtona, the distance between the two Gustros is less than 10 Tfachim, Uveu Besoch Asor Tfachim Yagustra El Yona. Therefore, Yoseres Es Hashimush Bechor Shel Hagustra Ha'El Yona, even though the El Yona has Shilshul and the Tachtona has Zrika, we should have normally applied the principle of Shmuel that we grant exclusive rights to the Shilshul. But here, since the distance between the two Gustros is less than 10 Tfachim, we merge the two into one Rishus and we suspend the application of the principle of Shmuel. Let me just mention a kasha of Rabbeinu Peretz. Ketzad yicholim b'nei rishus harabim lesser al b'nei aliyas hagag. Ma shoneh zeh mishtei chatzeros she'ein b'nei rishus harabim osrim aleihem es hachotzer. Af shu pasuach rishus harabim ve'hem mishtamshim bo. So even though the Bnei Rishus HaRabim have access to the Chatzeros, we're not going to say that the Bnei Rishus HaRabim generated an Isur on the Bnei HaChatzeros. He says, V'tireitz she'b'shar Chatzeros yesh l'bali HaChotzer tashmish kavua b'chotzer. V'heim tedirim sham tamid. Ein b'kochem shel Bnei Rishus HaRabim lesser aleha. Because they don't have a shimush tamid in the Chatzeros. Ma she'en ke b'nyonenu, she'en l'bnei ha'aliyah tashmish kavua b'gag, if it's only a sulam aroi, is therefore, since the Bnei Aliyah don't generally use the Gag, and therefore l'fichach yicholim b'nei rishus harabim lesser aleihem, they can generate an Iser on the Bnei HaAliyah. Okay then, so that's where we're going to stop for today. We are on the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Beis, Maskif La, Rav Papa. And that's where we'll start tomorrow.